2023.
Blog Talk Radio.
7 is the number.
And has let us run some people for a whole time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
It is your time to rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant.
The wounds of injustice are being healed by the peace.
Oh, Yahweh
is bringing us power through unity.
Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Tonight with me as a collective body of conscious individuals, we are changing our planet Earth into a more peaceful, joyful, loving, unified human population. So we together are changing the planet. Let's not forget that. We're changing the planet when we come together and promote unity, love, joy, peace, harmony. And I have to say, thank you for joining me. I'm Beata, your host for Soul Purpose Healing. This is my ninth year on Blog Talk Radio, Soul Purpose Healing. So grateful to be here, to share truth, love, compassion, and wisdom. And I really did want to move on from the dysphobia topic, but I discovered something that was a clear sign to me that I needed to talk about. Part four, the D-Trans Awareness Day. Yes, yes. This is such a positive sign because if you were here last week when I talked about Jonathan Cahn's book, The Fall or The Return of the Gods, you know that there's a spiritual energy moving in this country, if not the whole world, that has brought about this confusion, evil plan to manipulate and destroy the bodies of so many young people, male and female. Mutilate would be the word I think we can use. Mutilation. There's been so much mutilation on female and male bodies to support or to affirm the confusion that many of our youth have been going through. So I really wanted to move on, but I discovered that on March 12th, which happened to be my Earth Day birthday, there was a Detransition Awareness Day in Sacramento, California. Now, why is that significant? Maybe not to you, but I lived in California for 10 years, been to Sacramento, lived in Redwood City, near San Francisco, rode up and down the coast of California for 10 years. Beautiful, beautiful place. So I'm strolling through YouTube and I see Detransition Awareness Day, March 12th. I'm like, what? There's actually, I believe, a divine move to wake up this population, especially our young people, to the sad and suffering consequences of choosing to mutilate your body because you're unhappy with your sex that you were born with. So tonight, I have some guests who are going to share this detransition awareness movement that's going on, which is a really positive sign that people are having regrets and they're sharing their regrets with the with the world population. So, of course, along with sharing with you some of the voices of detransitioning human beings, we want to bring the healing of the wounded child because over the past couple of weeks, part one, two, three, and now four, we have been revealing to you that the reason so many young people have been confused and making choices to mutilate their body, there is an evil spiritual presence in our country, in our society, that has been persuading children by any means necessary, doctors, government, you name it. They've been trying to persuade young people that they should mutilate their bodies. And so that's what they've succumbed to the persuasion of advertising. And now they're waking up. They're waking up. They've even gone so far, many of the medical establishments, under the influence, remember, of the fall of the return of the gods, under the influence of the many deities and demons and principalities, under these this influence, they were persuaded to mutilate their bodies, and they persuaded parents of some of these children that their children were suicidal. So I'm bringing you up to speed on what this transphobia, dysphobia is all about. So we want you to be aware, conscious, so we can move into the solution, at least on this show, and promote it wherever you go. Wherever you go, we want to promote the solution and not have our youth any longer confused and distracted and persuaded to mutilate their bodies because the medical system thinks they're suicidal. Because we all, especially adults that might in the baby boomers, all adults go through puberty. And yet somehow this spirit has convinced parents that puberty blockers. We don't want these children to grow up, basically, and become full-fledged, healthy adults. So we got puberty blockers, we got hormone replacement therapy, The evil has just run rampant. But I'm here to tell you, there's a divine presence operating this day, today, that is helping our youth wake up, make different choices, healthier choices. And that's what we're going to dive into today, tonight, is show you some of the voices of those who are detransitioning, those who have made the choice to change their sex in whatever form and way they felt led to, but now they regret it. And so we're detransitioning. Hallelujah. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Transitioning, reversing your choice. That's what we do as human beings. We make choices. We make mistakes. We have regrets, but I, as a conscious, loving, compassionate individual, I'm here to help you have a smooth detransition and get into solutions that will help you become whole again in this crazy, insane society we live in. So I want to play my first guest for you. This is a person who shows the rise of detransitioners. Hallelujah. There's a rise of detransitioners, and we want to introduce you to that voice as a beginning. And then we're going to take, we have a caller who pressed one. We'll get to you after this first audio. I want to play this first audio for my listeners to share the voices of those who've been suffering through this insane period of mutilation of the body by an insane medical system that likes to experiment on human beings. Hallelujah. The divine energy is coming in to change all that madness. And this first person is going to explain the rise of the detransitioners. Love this. And that's what it's all about, sharing your testimony. And I say there's a divine energy occurring because sharing your testimony is why we go through what we go through. We go through suffering, we go through disease, and my understanding, my overstanding is that the Creator wants all of us to share how we overcome from victim to victor. We are victorious when we wake up and say, no more, I'm awake. I'm not going to make the choices I made in the last 10, 15 years that have brought suffering to me. So this is a young man, lady. I don't know if it's man or woman. These days it's hard to tell. But they're going to share with you their story on why we're seeing detransitioners instead of transgenders, mutilation. People who become transgender and are turning back are now speaking out. Hallelujah. So let's listen to one of those voices so that we can begin to have more compassion for these young people who were bamboozled into making these crazy choices. So first, the rise of the new trend.
I don't know what to do anymore. I am now 20 years old. I started medically transitioning at 16. I got a double mastectomy before I was on hormones. And then a few months later, I was put on testosterone. This isn't the solution. Destroying my body, my life. I was a teenager. I didn't know better. I was...
I'm sad for myself, of course. But I'm sad for humanity and the children. I'm angry. What's going to happen to the kids and the youth? And there's so many, When we get 30, 40-year-olds that are going to be like, what the f*** did I do when I was 16 or whatever? And you can't go back. I really... really hope that all these professionals get their friggin' karma, because I know that some of them don't realize and some of them might be brainwashed and whatever, but some of them know exactly what they're doing.
I really feel like some people in the trans community and the trans medicalists and the doctors really, really target the most vulnerable of us. I have borderline personality disorder, and I know for a fact that this is the reason for my transition. It's a very difficult mental illness, and one of the core features is not having any sense of self or identity, and my doctors knew this. I wasn't happy as a girl, so that meant I was a boy, and I was trans, and so I just took the cure that was handed to me. I was told that I was being given a cure, and I wouldn't want to kill myself anymore. And it wasn't true. There are so many mental health disorders that make you hate your body, and the solution isn't to change your body, it's to fix your brain, you know? I just don't want anyone else to ever feel this way. I lost my voice. I lost my chest. I don't know if I'm going to be able to have kids.
This is what happens when you give a woman testosterone. This is for 5 years. This is what happens, essentially. I got out of my haircut because my hair was driving me nuts. And I shaved it because I'm tired of watching my hair thin out. And it's less distressing if I shave it. So when I talk about being too far gone, I don't really know what else to call it. This is what I mean. This is how deep my voice is. it's gotten deeper over time, and it's settled. This is what I mean by hair loss, and it just keeps getting worse. It keeps thinning. It keeps receding backwards.
I've been off hormones / detransitioning for a couple of years. I'm not crying and blaming them for my decisions because I was a legal adult. I was a legal adult when I made these decisions. I knew that my voice would be permanently altered. I knew that I would permanently grow facial hair, which I still do. You can't really see it right now because I pluck my face. Literally, these tweezers are in my car all the time because on my brakes, I pluck my face. Now, my issue with this is that they're allowing these things to happen to children. Children who can't drive. Children who are not old enough to buy alcohol because their brains aren't, like, they're not mature enough to do that. Why are we allowing this to happen to children? I would have been so much further along in my transition before, like, if I would have started that young. And I'm detransitioning, so that would not have worked out the way that I thought it would work out whenever I was that age.
A lot of people in the news coming out detransitioning. Could you speak to that phenomenon?
I've been in this work for a long time. I know a lot of trans folks, close friends, family members, I've just never heard a case of anyone detransitioning. So I honestly don't think it's a real...
There's a number of cases in the news right now.
So, compassion, love. We send out nothing but love and compassion to all those people who were deceived and convinced that they were suicidal and they needed to take hormone block transition medicine and hormone blockers, puberty blockers, all of that. Compassion. We send compassion, love, wisdom to them. Now that they're speaking out, this is a divine energy that has blesses the number 7. This year, 2023, is a 7. And guess what? Today is a 7. April 23rd, 2023, we are in the 7, double 7 energy of divine energy, divine love, divine wisdom, divine transformation. So, I applaud every single person who is giving their testimony about their journey with the suicide, with the drugs, with the transmission of puberty blockers, all of that. We are being very, very compassionate now to those who are coming out speaking their truth so that we can come to unity and focus on bringing back the peace of this country. So I want to play for you one more audio before we go to the break and to calls, because I want you to hear the voices of those brave people who are coming to their senses and who are realizing that they need to speak out now. They need to speak out. And so we are applauding them and reaching out to them to love them compassionately and to help them speak out. We want to join them. And we're going to bring some solutions, some solid solutions to help them come out of any more deception and confusion. So let's listen to a couple of more voices on why or what's happening, why they're speaking.
This is Jay Richards with the Heritage Foundation. We're here at the Detransitioners Awareness Rally in Sacramento, California, and we just heard a group of detransitioners tell their experience. So how would you explain to someone that's just walking on the street like what a Detransitioners Awareness Rally is?
This is the awareness of all of the harm that gender medicine has done to pretty much anybody who will be honest about what they have been through.
What this event is about is we're just bringing awareness to detransitioners, because if you look at the media right now, you only see that it's the transition perspective, that it's good, it's healthy, that their life is sunshine and rainbows. But the dark side that most people don't understand is that people like myself and the other speakers who were speaking today, we're in pain, our bodies are failing. We're only young in our 20s, and our bodies are feeling that of an 80-year-old or older.
It is not political at all in nature. It is just about our experiences and what we need.
What led you to decide you wanted to talk about this publicly?
I got to the point where I was like, you know, it doesn't help anyone if I just stay in my room and mope about things. That doesn't help anyone. And I really care about kids getting that chance to grow up whole. I really do. I've worked with kids in the past, and they have a certain magic and innocence to them that deserves to be protected, especially from ideologies like this that leads to direct harm.
Us detransitioners, we're not taking it seriously. There's not resources specifically for us like there was transition. And it was just such an easy pipeline to fall into. I had a lot of comorbid mental health conditions that were just not looked into, not assessed, not treated. I was just throttled into transition.
A big part of what motivates me to do this is knowing that there's so many other people out there who are like me. So many other girls and boys and men and women, but not every one of them is able to find their voice. Not everybody can find the strength or support that they need just to be able to speak out.
At 13, I was able to have a full double mastectomy.
We're right on the edge here. Of course, there's things happening in other states. I mean, how do you feel about where things are at the moment?
The medical systems that even pioneered the idea of giving kids puberty blockers, they have reversed course on this and decided that letting kids grow up whole with actual help is the best course. And that makes me hopeful. I just hope the U.S. doesn't take such a long time to catch up.
Speaking out now, admitting they made a mistake, and bringing the truth to the world about their suffering and how they're ready now to share this with the world. I'm so proud of these people. And I'm thankful to the Creator and the heavenly forces that are helping these young people come forth and shifting the energy from total deception, evil, to more of confession, forgiveness, and transparency. They have to be transparent to share all the things that they're going through now after all the hormone blockers and all the deception and mutilation. So hallelujah, things are changing. And we're going to tonight, our goal is to help you hear the voices of those who are detransitioning, what they've been going through. And I have a special audio on the monster, one man behind the gender theory, even, that somehow it's a good idea to mutilate bodies. You're going to hear from a doctor who shares the man who, the monster behind at the clinic in, I forget the city, but you'll hear from it. And let me go to the phones real quick before we go to the break. 312-721, your mic is open. Welcome. 312-721, your mic is open.
312-721,
your mic is open.
This is just Naima. I actually typed in my question also on the Facebook page. Basically, I just asked, is anybody talking about the biochemical reasons why the desire to change one's gender may be happening, such as the hormones and the food and the water? And can anybody discuss this biochemical possibility without being accused of being transphobic? I had a friend who felt some strange things happening in his body. Breasts were growing, and he was just having these weird feelings. And then it was later discovered it was a particular brand of meat they had been eating, and he stopped eating it, and then the symptoms went away, and he kind of figured that whatever company this was that was producing this meat probably pumped up the meat full of hormones, and so naturally he was feeling the effects of, I guess, I don't know, too much estrogen or whatever it was that had his hormones imbalanced. And I'm thinking that because we start our children off on GMOs very early in life, they're exposed to a lot of chemicals in the water and the food. These things are happening where their hormones are out of balance. And as you know, if you're getting masculine feelings and you're a female, or you're getting feminine feelings and you're a male and you're young, it's very easy not to understand that your body has been altered biochemically by what you're eating. And if nobody talks about this, then we can't address the agricultural industry that's behind this. Whatever they're doing, whether they're trying to pump up the vegetables and the meat, to make it bigger or to grow better, whatever it is they're doing, but we're eating the altered food, and it's altering us biochemically, which I think is at the root of a lot of the confusion that's happening so young in our children. I think at least we should be able to have a conversation about it without the trans community feeling like they're being attacked, because if something's out of balance, it's out of balance, and we should want to help just on a health reason, so that people can live a healthy life that is affirming the gender that they chose when they chose to inhabit the body they chose to be born in. So that's my question. Is anybody talking about it even as a viable conversation?
Thank you, Naima. That's Naima Latif, our executive producer. Thank you, Naima, for that question. And I think there are multi factors contributing to the gender dysphobia. And, of course, I've heard that it's in the water. Well, everybody's drinking water. So I don't think that's the major cause of the dysphobia. And what they're discovering, interviewing these young people who were persuaded to mutilate their bodies, is that they had mental issues. They had comorbidities. They were not healthy, basically. The ones who were persuaded to mutilate their bodies were not unhealthy. So this is coming out in the research, in the interviews. Thank goodness people are sitting down with these young people who are detransitioning, asking them questions. Well, what happened in your early life? When did you start this? What was going on in your life? And the majority of them that I'm finding in my research has all types of mental disorders, mental illness, and health issues that they were dealing with. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a possibility that the food and water may be contributing to all this gender dysphobia. But what's being revealed is that it's not so much the food and water. The food and water is causing disease on every level. If I firmly believe that the map of consciousness shows us, if you are operating in your daily life at a low vibration of hate, unforgiveness, grief, guilt, anger, then you are more susceptible to any disease or malfunction of the body that the enemy is now putting out. And if you were on the show last Sunday, I talked about Jonathan Cahn's book, The Return of the God, where he introduces the metaphysical and spiritual influences that are manifesting right now in our society, the gender confusion and all of that. Because we have fallen, and you and I know that Neil Donald Walsh presents to us a picture of conversations with the Creator that help us understand why we are where we are in a metaphysical, physical level, and how we have fallen from what Neil Donald Walsh says is the pure love energy that is not judgmental and that is not critical. And so all of us can fall short, but if we stay in that low frequency of unforgiveness, hate, violence, grief, fear. Oh, my God, look at all the fear that not just our government, but the media puts out that causes the body's immune system to be weakened because of the low frequency and vibration that fear brings along with all the other low vibrations. So I hope that answers your question. And, yeah, we should be discussing every aspect, every factor that might be contributing to it, because that is why we now are in a detransition mode, because people are talking. They're having conversations, which I just applaud immensely that we can now talk about these things. And it's okay if people call us transphobic. Our government just passed a very important law that says biological men can no longer compete with biological women in sports. Progress is being made here, and I think that's all in line with the divine number of 7 for this year and the divine energy of the cosmic to bring us back to balance. It's all in work. It's in the works. We have to be patient and push through with love, compassion, and wisdom, in my opinion. So thank you, Naima, and I guess it's time for a break. So I'm going to leave your mic open if you want to start us with commercials. We appreciate you very much supporting this show, Soul Purpose Healing. And you can also call into the Female Solution Blog Talk Studio as well, 515-605-9325, or here in Soul Purpose Healing, 215-383-5863. And we'll be right back, I believe, after the messages.
Global Peace Movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato. Are back. Thank you so much for joining us this evening. A very important topic, in my opinion, as I have been talking about gender dysphobia, which is a mental imbalance in our gender, right now, mostly our youth. But we want to introduce you to those people tonight who are detransitioning. They're coming out and saying, we made a mistake. And last time I heard something like 28,000 young men and women are coming out saying we made a mistake, and some of them are very angry because the medical system can deceive them. Number one, by promoting the idea if you don't transition into another sex, then you're going to commit suicide somehow. So we want to applaud these people who are detransitioning and sharing their story, and we want to applaud anyone who's wants to help and counsel their neighbors, their friends, into this phase of their life where they have to make adjustments, the psychology of adjustments, my dad's favorite class. This is a big adjustment for those who have been under puberty blockers, hormone therapy, cut off their penises, holes in their body for new vaginas that didn't work. This is crazy. This has been an insane period, but thank goodness. We're waking up to the reality that we make choices that have consequences, and now we can reverse those consequences if we have a mind that admits and forgives. Gotta forgive us when we make choices like this, and then seek to overcome the consequences that these people have been suffering, unfortunately. So I'm opening up, I think this is Mama A. I'm trying to open up Mama AZ's mic, but we're just recirculating. I don't know what's going on here, but it's just, okay, Mama AZ, your mic is open now. Thank you for joining us this evening.
Greetings. Dr. V, can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm calling you from Cochise County, Miracle Valley, Arizona. Cochise County, part of this land, all of it is stolen land that we're living on. But Dr. V, you never cease to amaze me. I'm going to try to say this without crying. You and Brother Kwame have no idea of how much you mean to me in my life, in this lifetime, to keep me grounded. Because sometimes I do think I'm crazy because of the things that I see and the things that I hear. And this show today is so confirming. It is so confirming. And I want to dedicate this show to my good friend who's on the other side. Dr. V, thank you. Thank us. Thank you. Thank us. And the person that I want to dedicate this to, who's been communicating with me, He traveled with me to Virginia in the truck, and it to take the Godfathers to Mothers for the Earth. And for those who do not know what Godfathers are, I'm talking about stones, big stones, okay, rocks, but the sitting people, the mineral people. And when I got there and got the Milky Way medicine wheel in place, Sister Sarah called me up there at the cabin at Mothers for the Earth and told me at 10 o'clock a.m. Virginia time that Brother Mikey Bellamy had transferred. And I knew this. He waited right good until I got in the cabin and laid down to pass, to cross over to the other side. So I'd like to dedicate this show to Brother Mikey Bellamy, who's laid to rest at Desert Rose in Eloy, Arizona. He's been communicating with me about the subject that you decided and felt compassion and compelled to have. It's a lot going on with these transfers, these dear ones who, and Brother Mikey, I thought I was crazy, but he has been sharing this, certain things with me, and I didn't know how to bring it up to other dear ones. But this is serious, Dr. V, so all I can say right now, Brother Mikey, I hear you. And just keep communicating with me. Thank you. Thank us.
Thank you so much for sharing that, Mama V.
Thank you, Kwame.
Yeah.
Thank us.
All right. So, and we appreciate Mama AZ's testimony of struggle. And even Mama AZ may talk about later her own struggles with surgery and the medical system. And many people have trusted this medical system that we now know is totally broken. And that's why we're creating new paradigms in the communities that I dwell in so that we can take charge of our health. Every Friday, I'm on health and well-being to help you take charge of your health. This system is totally broken. And this next audio I want to play for you, Dr. Miriam Grossman talks about this man by the name of John, a doctor, supposedly Dr. John Money. And he's the main reason that his gender theory was promoted back in the 60s that began the spiral downward spiritually as well as mentally and in society, that caused a lot of people to trust the medical system for the experiments that he was doing on young people. So here's Dr. Miriam Grossman talking about this monster of a man who, with John Hopkins University's help, yeah, they're the ones, John Hopkins' help, promoted gender clinics to start this madness that we're
He had his theory, and he didn't have any way of proving it because, I mean, how do you prove something like that? until this family showed up at his doorstep, and it was a Canadian family from Winnipeg, I think, right?
I think that's right.
Yeah. And they were the Reamer family, a blue collar, very young couple, 20, 21 years old. And they had a horrific tragedy in their family, which is that they gave birth to twin boys. The boys were fine. And when the boys were, well, actually they had phimosis. Phimosis is a abnormality of the opening of the urethra. And so the doctors recommended circumcision for the boys. And they went in when they were 8 months old for circumcision. And the first boy to go in for the circumcision was Bruce, and the equipment there was a malfunction of the equipment, and they were cauterizing the penis in order to circumcise it. And instead of just that small amount of tissue that was supposed to be cauterized, apparently the settings were incorrect and the entire penis was burnt. So Bruce's penis was burnt, beyond any functionality. So these poor parents went home. The other boy was not circumcised, just obviously. They went home, and what are they supposed to do? They have a boy without a penis. What the hell are they supposed to do? So months later, they were watching television, and John Money happened to be on there. And you have to know also that John Money was an extremely pompous, self-assured individual. He was sophisticated. When he talked, you listened. He came across as being definitive, calling the shots, knowing what was going on, knowing the research, knowing the truth. And he, in this interview on television, said that a boy can be raised as a girl and a girl can be raised as a boy if it's caught, if it's done early enough. And that early enough means before the age of 2.5 or 3. And the parents, the Reamer parents, immediately took note of that, and they thought, here's the answer. This is the answer for Bruce. This is what we're supposed to do. So they contacted Dr. Money down in Baltimore, and they made an appointment and took the twins down to Baltimore and went down there. Again, you have to understand that this was a uneducated, young, blue-collar family. And when they were interviewed later about their meetings with John Money, they described him as like, we just thought he was God.
Mm-hmm.
We just thought, he's a professor and he's, got all the diplomas and he's the head of this this entire
new clinic.
At an outstanding university, one of the major universities in the world.
That was at Johns Hopkins, right?
Yes.
Yeah, right.
Yes. So you have to imagine this young couple coming and they're at a loss and they are looking for an answer. They've been praying. They're looking for an answer to their prayers. What are we going to do with Bruce? And John Money says, well, we have an answer for you because male and female is actually not related to chromosomes. It's not related to hormones. It's not innate. We can take little Bruce and we have to do some surgery on Bruce. We have to castrate him and we'll remove his testicles. He already didn't have a penis. We're going to remove his testicles. We're going to fashion, some sort of, elementary sort of female genitalia. You're going to give him a girl's name and you're going to put him in pink dresses and give him dolls and raise him as a girl. And you are never, ever, Dr. Money told the parents, never to tell him that this was truly what happened and after he was born. Never tell him because that will ruin everything. And it's up to you. You have to just work your hardest to raise him as a girl and make sure that everyone around him is considering him a girl because essentially he is a girl. And so not only was this the answer to the Reamer's prayers, this was, as you can understand now, the answer to Dr. Money's prayers.
Right, right. He had an experiment.
This was the experiment. This was his proof of concept. His concept was that being male and female is completely separate from biology. It's imposed by society. It's a social construct. And this was his proof of concept. And so the Reimers went home. Well, he had his surgery. They took him home. They named Bruce Brenda. They put him in all the girls' clothing, and they gave him dolls, and they, you know, they did all the things. And he peed sitting down sometimes, because as we'll learn later, he actually preferred urinating standing up, which is astonishing. We learned later that he always wanted to urinate standing up. And from the time he was in diapers, I think, he was told he was a girl. So that really is fascinating. But anyway, so they took him home, raised him as a girl, and Dr. Money started to follow the twins. Every year they would come down for a visit. The parents would spend time speaking to Dr. Money, and then the money.
Yeah.
Here's a slip.
Freudian slip for you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dr. Money would take the twins without the parents into his office and spend time with the twins. So this went on for years. And Dr. Money began to report on his study that became a famous landmark study. And he called them, he called her Joan in his study. He was beginning to write about this and lecture. And he was claiming that Joan, a.k.a. Brenda, a.k.a. Bruce, was doing great. I mean, she was adjusting. She may be a bit of a tomboy. He would acknowledge that. But in every way, you know, she was adjusting and she was doing well with friends and with schools, and she liked playing with dolls, and she would mimic her mom. And he was giving this glowing report from year to year, and in his professional writing of his studies, his report, and he was giving talks. And he was getting, you might imagine, tremendous attention for this. I mean,
so I'm going to cut that off there because it's about 20 minutes long. And I, long story short, both of those young men committed suicide when they were in their 30s. Sad, sad story. There's actually a documentary that you can probably find online called John Money, Dr. Money and the Boy with No Penis. That's the name of the documentary. Both of those young men, it turns out, when they visited this doctor's office, were being taught all kinds of perverted sexual activities. So Dr. Money turned out to be a real sleaze bag, even though he promoted one of the most important theories about dysfunctional gender dysphoria. So that's why we're celebrating tonight these people who are waking up from this tragedy that has occurred. And that Dr. Money goes back to 1960s. And as you heard, Johns Hopkins was involved. They had a gender clinic. They've since closed that gender clinic so that they can't do their dirty deeds anymore. But that's a sad story that started much of the gender dysphoria activity, evil events that we now are celebrating. Many people are waking up and realizing that they made mistakes. Here's another testimony I want to play for you about detransitioning, the voices of the detransition, how a woman lost her voice, or a man.
From the
whichever.
Time I was about 5 years old, I started to question my gender identity. But at the time, trans wasn't as big of an issue as it was today, and so I just kind of let it go for quite a while. Then when I was 13, I was surfing the web one day, and I found this website for female-to-male people, and it sounded like these were people who were fully transitioning. And I saw that, and I thought, that's who I am. I'm a male trapped in a woman's body. I think one of the things a lot of kids today are not taking into consideration is if you transition, you can never fully change sex. So I knew that if I attempted to transition, I would be a 5'2" man with a vagina. That did definitely deter me for a long time. But then the narrative that I was hearing from trans activists and even medical providers was that if I didn't transition, I would probably kill myself. And given that I was someone who had already suffered from mental health issues in the past, I didn't want to risk that. I thought medical transition was my best option. At the age of 28, I just felt like I didn't have another choice. I tried being a woman for so long and I wasn't happy. So I decided to go full steam ahead with my medical transition. I started off by getting a prescription for testosterone. And to do that, I called up Planned Parenthood because I'd heard they provided gender-affirming services. And I thought I would have to go through some kind of process to get the testosterone, whether it was psychological evaluation or a certain number of visits with psychiatrists, etc. But instead what happened is I talked on the phone for 30 minutes with a doctor I'd never met in person, and I got prescribed testosterone over the phone. I had asked for a low dose because I told the doctor at Planned Parenthood that I was a semi-professional singer and that my voice was important to me, and the doctor prescribed me what I thought was a low dose, but then later talking to other people, they had started at half the dose that I was on. I was prepared for my voice to get deeper, but nobody told me it would be painful to speak. Nobody told me it would feel like there was a barrier in my throat when I would go to vocalize, whether it was for singing or even just being around my friends at a social gathering. It was hard to like project my voice over music, and no one warned me that that was a possibility. I was afraid to be angry or complain about what had happened at all because I didn't want to say anything that would be like damaging to the trans community or prevent anyone else from transitioning. So I just kind of kept my mouth shut for a while, but then eventually the pain and just the gravity of what had happened, that I would never have my natural singing voice back ever again, just hit me. And that was one of the things that led me to sort of start questioning the gender ideology and whether affirmative care is really appropriate for most people. I had top surgery scheduled as well, a double mastectomy. To obtain permission for that, I also talked to a different doctor at Planned Parenthood who, again, without meeting me, had written me a recommendation letter for top surgery. But when the testosterone just had such devastating effects on my life, I realized it might not be a good idea for me to make any more permanent changes for now, so I ended up canceling my top surgery, and I also canceled my legal name change, which I had already turned in paperwork for that. And I was also having a bunch of health side effects as well. I was having body pains, especially a concerning pain in my right side. I was having heart palpitations, and I was feeling nauseous all the time, just starting to really not feel physically well. And so I just got to this breaking point where I was like, I'm not ready to go back to living as a woman, but I just know that I have to stop medically transitioning. This is not worth it to me at all anymore. So at that point, I just stopped taking testosterone cold turkey because I didn't want my voice to change anymore. If I wasn't worried about my voice as much, I probably would have tapered off of it, because usually, you know, if you go off of a medication, tapering off is the way to go because it can be really shocking to your system. But I didn't do that. I went off cold turkey.
Hi, TikTok. I'm back again today with a big announcement regarding my name. So my name associated with this account is no longer going to be Tony Martin, because I am now going by Kat Anthony.
At first, I thought I bounced back within like a month or two, but it really took about 6 months for the way my body operated to start normalizing again. And for the first like month, I've never felt worse in my life. I sank into a deep depression, because as an adult, if you have no sex hormones in your body, it makes you feel awful. It just drains all your energy. I was just basically bedridden. Like, I couldn't even get up or do anything for myself. So that was like a really, really dark period, having lost my voice and then just having like hours and hours in my bed, like not doing anything. It was probably the worst depression I've ever been in.
Since stopping testosterone, my voice isn't as high and girly as it used to be, but I can still kind of sound like two different people if I try.
Now, like a year and a half later, I look in the mirror and at least from a superficial level, my body and face look the same as they did before transitioning. But also during this period where I was kind of detoxing from the testosterone, I started to look into the studies about gender transitions. And I realized I'd been in an echo chamber and I'd been told some really harmful things by trans activists that totally distorted my view of the world and my gender or my biological sex. I just stopped believing in gender identity. Once I let go of that, it was actually extremely freeing, and I was able to accept myself as a female, as a woman, without attaching any kind of toxic negative gender stereotype to that. Because the truth with what's called transition, I actually call it body modification and mutilation, because it's impossible for humans to change sex. So by affirming gender dysphoria and telling someone they actually can be the opposite sex, it's only going to encourage and enable that person to mutilate their body and sterilize themselves. My parents didn't affirm me, and, you know, at the time it did make me very angry, but looking back, I'm very thankful for that, because I think that if I would have been able to transition as a child, I think I would be looking back and I would be thinking, how could you enable this? How could you have gone along with this when I was too young to consent? And I do think that in the future, we're going to see a lot of children who have detransitioned being angry with their parents and feeling betrayed by them. Although I do have empathy for the parents as well, because I realize that this is what our politicians, some pediatricians, certainly trans activists are instructing them to do. They are telling them to affirm. So parents may believe they're doing what's correct, but I think in the future, looking back, it's going to be a huge scandal and we're going to have a lot of regretful young people who can't have children, or their voices are irreparably changed, or they've cut off body parts that they'll never get back.
We are celebrating testimonies like that, where these young people are waking up and they've suffered and now they're telling their stories and they're regretting. There's lots of regret out there now. So we've got to take another break. When we come back, I have more testimonies from those who have regrets. And we have Carolyn Mice is one of my favorite teachers on so many topics. And she's going to talk about the wounded child, because our host, Dr. Debbie Green, is on Facebook with us, and she's saying what the professionals are saying now, finally, and that is there is a psychological and biochemical component to transsexuals. There is also a spiritual area as well. There are mental illness attached to this as well. And it begins in the early childhood. That is exactly what we're discovering. And Dr. Debbie Green says, I know several transsexuals suffering from mental illness. Most transsexuals have mental illness and suffer from depression and severe anxiety. Absolutely. That's what we're finding. That's what we're discovering. And I'm not judging, just stating facts from my experience as a mental health professional. And we don't even have to judge. They're judging themselves now. That's the amazing thing. We have, as last count, something like 28,000 men and women are detransitioning. The 28,000, as far as we know, are regretting the deception, the mutilation, and the puberty blockers and all the other evils. And yes, the spiritual element has and is, as I mentioned in all of in last week's show with Jonathan Cahn's book, The Return of the Gods, we are seeing an uprising, or we have been seeing the return of spirits, demonic spirits, entities, you name it, have influenced our country because we fell from the pure energy of love, compassion, wisdom, especially wisdom of our Creator. And Naima Latif says, what is the common denominator in all of these cases? Were they raised in broken homes? Were they subjected to early childhood molestation? Did they experience any other childhood emotional trauma? I'm sure there is research on this that can tell us a common early childhood experience of transgenders. All of the above, yes, and more. I'm sure Dr. Debbie can attest to the fact, Debbie Green, yes, she says yes, absolutely. All of the above. There, and I'm sure that when she, the more patients that she has seen and counseled, it's being revealed to her, as well as what I am finding in my own research, that these young people are coming forward with their testimonies. This is, so I'm celebrating them. We are celebrating them tonight. Detransitioners telling their stories all over the world that they regret the mutilation, they regret the maneuvering of the medical system to convince parents that if they don't do this, they're going to be suicidal, so you better hurry up and do the fear. That's what we've been experiencing from our medical system and our government. So we're waking up. Soul Purchase Healing is here to help you in this transition of being an idiot and ignoring the ant, the wisdom of the ant. We're no longer ignorant because we've been in this this season of ignorance for too long, whether it's racism or medical maneuverings and manipulations and mutilations. We've been in this season of ignorance too long. We're waking up now. And I know Naima Latif, if you're ready, let me open up your mic. And whenever you're ready, you can play the next group of commercials. And we'll be back with more testimonies. And if you have comments, feel free to press 1. And we will open your mic and hear from you about your thoughts about this awakening we're seeing. It's a beautiful awakening. Unfortunately, there was a lot of suffering because of the strong advertising with people like Dr.
Oh, man, God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
You can also join us live on the Female Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
See you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy. Thank you. We're back. And if you just joined us, the reason that we're doing this part four on Detransition Awareness Day, I had this amazing revelation looking through YouTube that on my birthday this year, and think about the cosmic, universal, metaphysical, spiritual energy around this. For me, on my birthday, March 12th, the third month of 2023, we're in a seven. So divine energy is revealing evil, revealing so many things, and helping us transform into a better planet. And on my birthday, March 12th, in Sacramento, California, they had a detransition awareness day. What the? I'm like, what? So that was why I decided to put part four on this show, because we've already been in this rhythm for the last few weeks on Soul Purpose Healing and Health and Well-Being with Beata on Friday, of revealing this gender dysphobia. We've been talking about, if you want to go back, you can find out more about this journey we've been on to discover this epidemic of sorts. 28,000 men and women now are detransitioning, estimated now. We don't know for sure. 28,000 are detransitioning after many, many years. If you heard about Dr. Money and his experiment on the twins, that was in 1960s. So we are now many years forward experiencing the consequences of a medical system persuading parents that if you don't get your child transitioned into another gender, they're going to commit suicide. That's been the horrible brainwashing that's been going on in our society. And hallelujah, we're waking up. Detransition Day on my Earth Day, a beautiful Earth Day present, in the third month of 2023, that they actually decided to have an awareness day. That's like consciousness at its best. Consciousness at its best, that young people gathered in Sacramento, California on March 12th to say, we are now woke. We are now, this is real true wokeness, that all these people who have suffered and who went through the deception and the transit and the mutilation of their bodies, they came to speak out on this March 12th of the third month of 2023. This is divine energy at its best, bringing us to a place of awakening, awareness. And then for those of us who are observing, what's happening here is it's helping us be more compassionate. When we understand the journey that these young people have been on, full of deception, lies by the medical system, and in fact, we're all together on this. The last 3 years have been a big marketing campaign of deception and lies. So we're all together. This is unity at its best. Let's embrace our detransitioning youth, help them through this process of getting back to normal, and then prevent any other youth from doing making the same stupid mistakes. So I have one more testimony I'd like to share with you of a woman who regrets cutting off her breast. Sad. This is crazy. But we give thanks that it's happening in such large numbers and that we will be preventing this sad, this crazy insanity in the future.
My name is Camille. I had top surgery back in 2020 because that was kind of the last thing I'd done. So I'm treatment resistant, or I was treatment resistant. And
so you transitioned so did you transition? Hi, everybody. Thanks so much for checking out my channel. Today, I have this really awesome lady. Her name is Camille, and she detransitioned from female to non-binary, and now she lives as a woman. But anyways, her story is quite fascinating about her surgery and how it really, wow, it did some really messed up things to her body. So anyway, I hope you really enjoy the interview, and like, subscribe, because that's what you're supposed to say. Secondly, let me know what you think. And she has a ton of great information. And also, give me some ideas of people to bring on. Okay, love you all so much. Don't forget, like and subscribe.
I guess so. The thing is, I don't quite know what, like, if you call it detrans or, like, because, mm-hmm. like, I mean, I got, it's like F to N, so... Mm-hmm.
Female to non-binary?
Yeah. I think I've seen, like, new choice or something. Like, there's like, some different terminology, but yeah, to non-binary. So okay. I transitioned top surgery.
I see. Okay, right. So you got top surgery?
Yes.
And no hormones?
No hormones.
And so can I ask you why you chose just to do top surgery and no hormones?
I felt really uncomfortable with my breasts at that time.
Okay.
And so, yeah, it was something that I felt like, and I also felt uncomfortable with my femininity as well, but it's just like, there was just sort of like this real discomfort around my chest in particular, a little bit around the hips, but mainly with the chest area. And so that's why I did that.
Honestly, if anything,
okay, I don't even think we need to go any further with that testimony. How many women out there, when you were going through puberty, didn't feel good about your breasts? Raise your hand. Let's go. So it's just amazing to me, something so natural and normal that was going on in these young people's minds, gender dysphobia. They turned it into an opportunity to experiment and mutilate them. And we got parents out there, bless their little hearts, that went along with the program. If you don't cut off their breasts, they're going to commit suicide. This is actually what the plan was, to get parents to believe your poor child is suicidal, and if you don't do what we suggest, they're gonna die, they're gonna commit suicide. So we are looking at some comments here on Facebook, and then I'm gonna go to the phones. Let's see, Naima says, Michael Jackson's father forced him to go through hormone therapy so he could maintain a high voice. It affected him where he could not have children. That's why he had them through artificial insemination. Yes, poor Michael. The parents are at this stage, we have unconscious parents and we have conscious parents. And when you are looking at a superstar like Michael Jackson coming up in that dysfunctional family, it's just a lesson that we can learn about not looking for success in your life like that. And he married the mother who carried the children, so they are legally his children. Yes. Michael Jackson is a great example of a life that was so sad in many ways and yet so amazing that he accomplished what he did despite the ignorance of his parents. And that's what my hope is. My hope is with these detransitioners that they're going to do great things and tell great stories about how they overcame. There's a book called from victim to victor. They're going to be victim to victor, no longer feeling like they're victims anymore, that they made these choices with the help of their unconscious parents. And that's why we all need to wake up, educate ourselves, and be more compassionate. We don't need to be judging, as Dr. Debbie said. No judgment here. We are being taught some very, very important lessons watching these young people come back to life. They're coming back to life. I just applaud them. And thank you for being transparent and telling your story. So let me go to the phones. We want to hear from you, your comments as you're watching this play out in our society and earth, that we are waking up the divine energy saying, wake up, people. We had a whole day of detransition awareness on my birthday. I'm so happy, happy, happy. That was the best birthday present I could have gotten, that young people are waking up and telling their story. So let me go to the phones and hear your story or your testimony. 708-602, your mic is open. Welcome.
Greetings, Sister Vieta and family. Can you hear me?
Yes, this is Brother Eddie Harrison, Chicago. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, and how are you doing?
Great, thank you. It's warm here, and we love it in Florida.
Okay. All right, well, I'm on the opposite side, so it's cold here, and I'm dreading it, you know, instead of loving it, but I'm loving being alive. It's a fun time and great time and wonderful time to be alive. And hello to the family and listening audience. I don't want to leave you out because we're all connected. But right quick, let me get to the point that you've been using the number of the word healing, which we have to deal with in order for this transition to truly take place. The healing is no more than the revealing. Revealing is also the healing. Healing is 27. Revealing is 27. It's the revealing that you've been talking about. That revealing and healing, which is the 9, is no more than the testimony, family. Testimony is 36, which is the 9. It's part of the healing. See, it's part of the revealing of the healing in the testimony that we are giving. And knowing that what's been truly wounded in the child is all of us. What's been wounded has been mental. See, family. Family is 8. Wounded is 8. The family has been wounded.
Yeah.
And what has been wounded started mentally. We've been mentally wounded. Discussion. Because we still carry the fear of the wounds that happened in our journey, in our younger years, as you're showing, as children. See, and that child that we're talking about started with the mind, which is where the discussion has to start, family, with the mind that we've been played a trick on by these doctors, because when all this stuff started, it's when the doctors that was put in front of us were called psychologists. It's psychology, psychological fear, that now we are discussing, that has now transformed where we're now seeing the truth by what is basically registering that we're becoming aware. The awareness is the year that we're in, 7. 34 is awareness. This is 2023. We're becoming aware, family. We're starting to see. See is 16. 7. To recognize 34. The 7. Witness 34. This is why we all along the journey. And this journey is 25. The 7. It's part of the education, not part of their school. The institution, which is 7, that's the box. The education comes straight from nature. Nature is 25. This is what you've been mentioning. We got to get back into nature, because nature that once we discover nature, we discover yourself. Yourself is 34, which is 7. The unfolding of all this nonsense is laid right there in nature, family. We're running from it and running towards the nonsense that's now being revealed, because the age of Aquarius, which is 34, the 7, was the time for revealing. So with that, family, peace and love, just wanted to share that with you. Love you.
Love you too, Brother Eddie. That's so very powerful and relevant and, oh my goodness, so appropriate. Nature deficit disorder. We're going to add that to the list of causes for this transition dysphobia. I would be willing to bet that most of those people, young people who decided if they were suicidal and they decided I'm not a boy, I'm not a girl, they had nature deficit disorder. You can't hang around a tree and birds and bees and water at the beach and think, I'm not a girl, I'm not a boy, I'm so confused. Nature just can't allow that. You cannot be at the beach in the sun and the water and be thinking that, I don't know what gender I am. So, yeah, nature deficit disorder. Thank you so much, Brother Eddie, for the numbers, because numbers are the language of the universe. And this 7 that hovering over us all year long, talking about divinity. Divinity is here. It's going to change this planet. We're going to get rid of all these psychopathic, insane doctors and the government employees. And let's go to the next caller, 347-231. You're my welcome.
Hello, greetings. Good evening, everybody.
Good evening. Good evening. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing fantastic. I've been listening to the podcast. Thank you so much for bringing such an important topic to the discussion, because it's very, very, the kids is our future, you know. So now we're talking about the preserving our future and future for them and future of their kids and further on. Thank you so much.
Okay.
Yes, and I wanted to share.
Is this Dina?
Yes, this is Dina.
Okay, Dina is a friend of both Mama AZ and myself, and we talked earlier about her sharing her solutions for these confusing days, and she has a beautiful young daughter. And Dina, share with us what you believe the solutions are for these nature deficit disorder youth that we are observing.
Definitely. I've been observing this already for more than a decade. I've been living in New York, and then I've been traveling in the United States. And what have I observed that is different from what is in other countries, because I'm from another country, and like, things are a little bit different over there, and I couldn't help but see the difference. And indeed, we do have a lack of nature and nature exposure for children. And
yeah,
in the recent years with technology blooming, and we have access to all this amazing thing, you know, in technology, like video games and media, internet, the whole world is open to us, but we have kids locked into this, like, contained space. A lot of kids don't go out anymore, they don't travel, and they're just literally being fed psychologically all this information that's enormous, you know, out there. They've been fed this consistently, and that's why I believe this is like a warfare for the soul of our children, and it happens on 3 levels, on physical, mental, and emotional. Like emotional, we've all been witnessing in the past 3 years how much fear was instilled on us and how gaslight the whole society was when we were told not to see what we see, not to say what we need to say, you know, and basically silence, like, the common sense. And now we see already the circumstances, the consequences of this,
yeah,
how many people, you know, got suffered and injuries. And there's a lot to uncover, too. So this is the first thing. And I believe the speaker, the first speaker that spoke about the biochemistry, it also makes sense. It is a part of the problem, because we ingest so many toxins. We have so many chemicals in the water. Last year, there was a lawsuit against baby foods, where they put heavy metals in organic baby food. It's something that parents trust, and they buy with the belief that they're doing best for their children, and we feed this to our children for them later to have consequences in like bad health, in neurological impairment, and a lot of things. And I believe that this has a very big impact on the emotional state later, you know, when they're more susceptible for, a lot of neurological disorders, anxieties, and hormonal disbalance. But also there is a part of ideological warfare. Right now through the media and what we call it influencers, who influencing our kids nowadays? If you go on the social media and you see, wow, this man that's decided to show that he's now a woman, right? I'm not going to name his name. I'm sure you heard he got like this amazing deals from Olay, from feminine care products. So he's everywhere being advertised and it's being portrayed as it's normal. So kids, when they get confused, and it's okay to be confused when you're a teenager. It's throughout the history, it was the age when children were going from that stage of being children into a bigger world. So they kind of have to go through this death, but metaphorical, you know, like spiritual, when they have to, the old ego of the child is kind of coming out from the shell, and it becomes a new, like more of an adult version. But now what we see is how our medical society is kind of decided to profit off that and instill in their mind that anything can be solved with the surgery. And this is like one of the most damaging things I think that we can do to instill and plan these ideas because, you know, we create with our thoughts. And especially for the children, their minds are very, very, very creative too and they have a lot of energy. So what we plant in their heads, what kind of seeds, that's what's going to grow later. That's why we see 15, 16 years old kids when they're still confused and about themselves and they don't know they still have so much ahead of them in a lifetime that the life doesn't end when you're like 20 or 21. You don't stop growing and you're constantly dying and being reborn through all these situations in your life. And, you know, this is like the constant growth, it's constant evolution, and it doesn't stop at a certain specific age because we're constantly growing and evolving.
Okay, so Dina,
dangerous, I think.
Dina, we have to stop and take a break, our last break. So when we come back, I'd like to hear about, and from you and from other callers, the solutions for the situation we find ourselves in. And, of course, part of it, you mentioned we had a discussion about the Merkabah, which is a biblical Hebrew term that talks about the chariot ride and the elevation of consciousness. And so that's what we're looking at today in our society with the conscious individuals that are in our community. We want to talk about elevating our thoughts, elevating our consciousness, our beliefs. Everything has to be elevated now because this society, our government, our medical broken medical system has had us in a low state of mind where we are being have been suffering.
We cannot create.
So let me take a break and we'll come back after the break. We've got a couple of callers who with their hands raised. So we're going to get back to you and then we're going to get to some callers before we leave. So Naima Latif,
sure.
If you want to play our last commercials. Your mic is open. And thank you all for being here for this important detransition and awareness day. And as Brother Eddie said, the number is clear. The numbers are clear. We're in a 5 and we're in a 7 today. So Naima Latif, if you're still there, we're ready for you.
To SOPA Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn you into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with SOPA Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Is Monday morning a struggle to get out of bed, into the swing of things? Well, don't worry, you are not alone. Join us for a thought-provoking, stimulating, and mindful conversation on Higher Learning with Zelda Speak for your Monday morning mindfulness session on Blog Talk Radio, The Female Solution, Mondays, 7:30 until 9 a.m. Be sure and send your ideas, thoughts, comments, and suggestions. Also, if you'd like to be a guest on the show, visit ZeldaSpeaks.com and send us your info. We'd love to have you. Experience mindfulness moments with the mindfulness/stress relief coach, Zelda Speaks. And thanks for sharing the mindfulness moment tip of the day. Stay on purpose, stay empowered, and stay tuned to your next session of Mindfulness on Higher Learning with Zelda Speaks. Make it a mindful day. And thanks for listening.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us this week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Thank you so much for joining us this evening. Been very interesting and quite challenging conversation because it involves waking up on the screen and making changes. So we're talking to Dina before we left, and we're going to give Dina a few more minutes to just share her thoughts about the Mirkabah elevation of consciousness, which I believe is what the solution to the deception we've all experienced. So, Dina, do you want to share some final thoughts on the solution of the Mirkabah?
Sure. Yes, so the Mirkabah from the Hebrew, yes, it translates as a chariot to ride or the throne of God. It's basically the state of the body, of the consciousness, when you are your divine feminine and masculine are balanced, and you're in a state of unconditional love. This is a pure state of creation that you can be at in order to create harmonic world around yourself. To get into the state, you need two things. You need a pure vessel, and you need a pure emotional body. So, and I think this is where solution lies also in the situation with the gender dysphoria. As I said, there are three things, you know, that they are attacking them, the children, on physical level, mental, and emotional. So we need these three things, components to be addressed. First of all, parents, you know, should be responsible and aware of providing like energy, high energy foods in order for them, for their body to function, for their mind to function clearly, to detox their bodies from all this toxin that they accumulated that make their mind confused and sluggish. The second is mental, the right ideology, the right role model. And it has to start with us, with parents. If we start learning and doing all this and practicing all this, our children will follow us. And the third element, I believe, is that the best that you could do is whenever you have the crisis, just go out in the nature, because nature knows the way. The earth is alive, and it heals us, and we heal it. We can heal it. But unfortunately, we're very disconnected, but there is a way to reconnect to it back when we living in nature, when we in a state of purity and connection with it, it will guide us because nature knows the way. We humans, we don't. We just destroy. But the nature knows how to create. And in order to get in the state, we need these two main things. You know, we have to have the clean body, the right products, and we have to be in that state of unconditional love, of forgiveness, of compassion. I know it's very hard to practice it nowadays, but we all have seeds of some tendencies, you know, but it can go away with the meditation, consistent awareness, and consistent focus on evolution. This is where we need to aim, you know, as a collective, to aim at the evolution of the consciousness. And then with the thoughts, this is where we're gonna get eventually, and our kids will follow us as well.
Yes, that's beautiful, beautifully stated. Thank you so much, Dina, because you can bet the youth, the men and women who made the decision to transition and go through the mutilation of their body, they did not know what you did. So this is what we want to be sharing with all of our youth going forward, having these types of conversations with our youth about high energy foods, about getting rid of toxins, about being in nature. We can't stress that enough. And expressing unconditional love. And that's a process. We know that this is not going to happen overnight. We all working on all of these, being out in nature more. So, Dina, we appreciate very much you sharing that wisdom and that higher knowledge. And so have a beautiful, and give the baby a hug for us. And hopefully we'll hear you back on the show again with all your beautiful energy. Thank you. So we're going to go to our next caller. This is Brother Kwame Sunhor, 706-202. Your mic is open.
Grand Rising, Sister Beata, and good evening to the family. Can you
Grand Rising. Yes, we can.
Okay. And, you know, I thank you for bringing another part four to this because it's very important how we're looking at all of this, and I think Gina was very much on point. And the part of it is that we have to look at, this is all been by design, because you talked about the Dr. Money and back in the 60s. This is when they started looking at the DNA, when they finally got the coding of the DNA and they started this dissecting the different variables that's in the human DNA. And the thing that they have is that they've now more so perfected, you know, the coding of our DNA. And this is what they're utilizing, because we were attacked at one point at the cellular level with the food and the vaccines and those parts. But now we're being attacked in what they call the Human Genome Project. The Human Genome Project started back in the 80s, and it was to be able to see how they could take the human gene and connect and reclone it, or how they have been able to look at what they call the MAOA gene, the MAOA gene. You can look it up. It's called the warrior gene, and the warrior gene is what we see that our children are doing out there, wilding in the streets and acting, you know, violently, and that is because they've now seen how to activate that gene through trauma, through putting them on games and allowing them to get certain energy that activates that gene. What we also looked at, what you were saying, is that we don't understand, our children don't learn about the birds and the bees, because they have what you call, they live in number one, urban areas, which in the essence of the word urban says is that you are banned from nature. And that is very important seeding, because if you don't have your child connecting to Mother Earth, then they're going to grow into whatever artificial world that they're living in. And this is very effective, because you look at something, gene and gender, they're both dealing with the same thing, because in the child, it has a gene that says is that when it reaches puberty, its body is going to make certain alterations in itself. And the thing is that if you give that gene the artificial foods, or you give it more hormones, or you give it imbalanced diets, then you have that gene not being able to function in the right way, because like you were saying about young girls when they, and I'm not a female and I wouldn't understand it, but I have five daughters, is that when they began to grow their breasts, the uncomfortability that they had about it, and then the first thing the mothers want to do is put the harness on them. And I was against it, was because I seen in other countries, women that don't wear bras had less breast cancer than this country that glorifies wearing all of these harnesses that women have to wear. The other part of it is that the human body has a coding that it knows from the conception of that child, the genes of the next generation is already in that embryo that's growing in that woman. So what you're doing is that you're giving the person that's carrying that child gene moderations, and this is what they're doing with the food, and then putting them in a frequency to alter what that gene is going to activate with. Because if you alter that gene and you give it a mixed signal that it's getting more testosterone than estrogen, then what is going to happen with that child? It's going to become confused. And then you give it media, a social media, that shows them that this is what you are and this is what you're doing. And Brother Eddie was talking about it, because psychology is not, it's psych comes from the Egyptian word. It really means the spirit. And what they've done is they've disconnected the spirit from the mind and say, oh, your mind is this, and if you don't do this, your mind, you're going to commit to. No, you got to reconnect the spirit, because when we talk about being spiritual, we got to understand the rituals. And doing the rituals is being able to have certain ceremonies. This is why when I said we create the Overground Railroad, create Oasis, which is our ancestor spirit in service, is because we have to come back to our mother. We are orphans living in an urban area. You are orphaned from your mother. They put concrete over her. They put asphalt over her. They build buildings and skyscrapers, and they locked you into boxes. You are not in a human environment. That is unhuman. That's artificial. Coming back to nature, learning to ground, learning to learn the birds and bees, learning to learn the frequencies, learning the wood wide web and not the world wide web, because the world is not connected. That's not real world. That's an artificial world they've created. The wood wide web has been here since this planet existed.
And thank you for that reminder of the wood wide world web. The funny thing is, I was watching a guy, he was going to give $1,000 to the Harvard students on campus if they knew what WWW stood for. Shockingly enough, there were quite a few who had no idea. But thank you, Kwame, that we are being educated on a whole new level about WWW and so many other things. And I thank you for reminding us that this is the knowledge and wisdom that our youth need more than anything. So we have Mama AZ. I see your hand is up again, so I'm going to open your mic. Did you have another comment you wanted to make?
I did. And if you hear the ambulance, they've been rolling all day. Anyway, yes, thank you, Dr. V, and I give thanks to you wholeheartedly, Brother Kwame and Brother Harris. I'm calling you from Miracle Valley, Arizona, Cochise County, stolen land, I'm finding out. Now, I don't know what this has anything to do, but I know it does. Sacramento, I'm not sure of how far Sacramento, sister, is from Mount Shasta, but I believe that the dear ones at Mount Shasta, the ascended masters there, have something to do with it being on your day, Dr. V, and being in Sacramento, because I believe that there has to be a from Mount Shasta to Sacramento to Montana to Pilot Mountain in North Carolina, even Hemingway, South Carolina. There's a grid line. Even to Miracle Valley, Arizona, there's a grid line. And the reason that I'm saying this, family, is that I have been getting a lot of downloads and dreams from Reverend Allen, from Dr. Dilbert Blair, and many others who is giving me this information. And this today is a 7th. Did you not say that, Dr. Reed?
Yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
4/23 is 7.
Okay, well, you know, Dr. V family, her life path is a 7. That's why she has been anointed with a golden hatchet that keeps digging. And my life path is also a 7. So I'm wondering, can Brother Harris expound on Sacramento and why they decided to do it on March 12th, which is Dr. V's Earth Day, if you know what I'm trying to ask you. Peace.
Okay, Brother, Sir Mike, can you answer Mama AZ if you're still there?
I didn't exactly hear the question again, Mother AZ. Can you reiterate
okay.
on what you just said?
All right. What I said, okay, I'm not sure of how far Mount Shasta is from Sacramento and all of the other grid line locations. However, because of this, what do you call it, Dr. V, that they created on your Earth Day?
Detransition Awareness Day. And that's a 10, mm-hmm. by the way. Today is a 10. March 12, 2023 was a 10.
Okay. Well, what I'm asking, Brother Harris, is what is the connection with Mount Shasta, the Ascended Masters, and that particular day that they decided to bring this awareness on that particular date in Sacramento?
Not a 10. It's some other number. Let's see. It's a 4.
Anyway, with Mount Shasta and the information and the dates, I'm not fully aware. I would have to sit back and do the numbers exactly. The awareness that you're saying, awareness is 34, which is the 7, the year that we're in. The awareness that we're getting dealing with the awakening. Awakening is the one that we are all a part of. The awakening is happening on everybody's specific biological clock. It's not dealing with the birth of a child. It's dealing with you becoming awoke, waking up. Your biological clock has your own time, your own frequency. Everybody's just here to help and to help that activation amplify what's actually happening. It's already in the ether. It's already within us. And when we know that part of us that's in, we now express it. We give it. It's better to give. We give it. We teach it. We share it. And again, this is the awareness of the awakening that we, this is part of the journey. This is the true education in nature that we're going through. This is all a part of nature. The awareness of nature, of oneself, yourself, connected to nature. that you, we are becoming aware. We're not ignoring it anymore. The ignorance is going to play it out. So this is it. So with that, Mother AZ, I would definitely have to do a little bit of research to give you a more specific answer to your question.
Okay, and thank you so much,
Dina.
Yeah,
my
to that, I think.
Yeah, and what you're speaking to, Mama AZ, and good evening. The part you're talking about is Sacramento, California is the capital, but it's also represented that where Kalita is a mural on the wall in the state capital. That's where she had her, that was her sacred place because on the grid with Mount Shasta is the doorway to Shambhala on the West Coast. And the part that you're talking about is also dealing with Pilot Mountain is on the East Coast. And that's Knob Mountain. That's the sacred place. And it connects to the grid in which you are talking about the 100, well, here on Turtle Island, Mount Shasta, Pilot Mountain, Stone Mountain. These mountains are all part of the grid here on Turtle Island. And so they triangulate energy from one point to the other point. And these are the grids in which on that date was after the full moon on March the 12th, because I think the full moon was either the 9th or the, I think it was the either the, somewhere 3 days because the moon was waning. And the part that you're looking at is that these are the energies what they were trying, when you look at after a full moon and waning, is mean you're doing ceremony or you're doing things to remove, because this is what this is happening with the moon's energy, is that it's removing because it's been full and now it's going back to being dark again for the next seeding of the next phase of the moon cycle. And so all of that is in alignment why they did what they did in divine order of having that rally on that date is because they are, like you say, the young people are looking at this is no longer going to be we're awake now. We're no longer, you know, we've seen the light and now we are looking at how do we get rid of this.
Absolutely. Hallelujah. Thank you so much. We're at the end of our show, and I've got a comment from Zelda. She says, hi, Mama AZ. Always good to hear your voice. We can always count on you and Baba at home.
Yes, thanks.
Join Zelda tomorrow. Her show is titled, How Are Your Incarcerated Family Members Being Treated in Vacation Bible School? That's where they are. And so join her tomorrow. She has a guest bringing that topic and discussion. And she says enjoy daily classic inspiration at inspirationsblogspot.com. So thank you all for joining me this evening. And we pray that you have a beautiful week and go out there and passion and love to our young people who are coming out and celebrating their transparency and their awakening. They're waking up. They're waking up. Yes, they are. So we celebrate that. So we're going to say goodbye and thank you to our global family. Everybody, mwah, love you. And we'll see you tomorrow morning.
End of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show.
You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, xiexie. India, zanyaba. Japan, arigato. Korea, kamsahamnida. Russia, spasiba. Germany, danke. Poland, jeong kujeong. France, merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.